Okay. All right, welcome back. Not quite as big of a class, but I think there's some that had other classes they really wanted to go to, so that is perfectly fine. So today I wanted to go over some more things that we can do in class to make it a little more fun for everybody, and also the papers that I handed out to you are a few pages out of the CLE third and fourth grade books that we're going to look at and just see how we can make them a little bit more interesting for students. So I had a couple people put questions in, and I would like to talk about them a little bit first before we get into anything else. So, this one I'm going to read first. And so the question was if there was anything we'd like to talk about in class, and if there's any other questions, comments, suggestions for the rest of us, was how I had it worded on the paper. And this person said that they're not sure which question to put this under, but I'm wondering about some conflicting advice I've gotten. I was in a class about teaching music where the very experienced instructor said to cut all laughter, goofing off in music class. Music is serious. It is worship. There is to be no laughing because it will discourage the students to put their best into it for fear of being laughed at. And then my co-teacher last year would have riotous music classes. I told her about what that instructor said, and she said she finds that very interesting because her and all her classmates grew up loving music, and they credit one of their teachers that made music class a party. How do these two theories about teaching music make sense together, or don't they? So, before I give my thoughts and opinions, does anybody have any thoughts and opinions on this for us?
This is a question. Does music have to be solely worship?
That's actually a good point. That's probably the first thing we should talk about. Because that would really come into play. Well, you probably kind of know where I stand on this. I think I said something about it yesterday, honestly, a little bit. So does music have to be only worship?
Teach music, and that will help that when they, in a church service, a new song comes up, you can sing the song without having to think so hard about what you're singing, like the music that you're singing. You can sing the song thinking but more about the words instead of, or even just even songs you know. If you can simply think about the words instead of having to pay so much attention to the music.
Yeah.
And children will catch on quicker to fun songs that teach those music things instead of the.
That is a very good answer. Thank you. I 100% agree with you. Does anybody else have any comments about that?
I think it's kind of like the food you eat. You don't eat just meat all the time. It's okay to have a little bit of dessert now and then.
Make your life a little more exciting here and there. I think that's also very true. And it is, music is an excellent way to worship God. And honestly, when I was in my early 20s and I kind of got a little bit more into the music world, and probably a lot of you know who John and Laura are. They were at the registration table. That's my oldest sister. And they were in Poland for 10 years, and they started a choir tour over there, the Hope Singers. And so I went the first time when I was 20. Joel, my brother, just younger than me, I think he's been directing music here some. He went with me a couple of the times I went, but we went together that first year. And I remember getting into huge arguments and debates with some of the other youth boys about whether what I was doing over there was worship or basically a sport. Showing off, because we all knew how to sing. And it can be kind of used as a sport, if you want to put it that way. But also, you know, kind of my argument was that was kind of some of the only ways that, like, it was the church that was there. It was their way to reach out to the cities around them and get to know them. We learned a lot of our songs in Polish so that they could understand. I'm sure we had terrible diction, but they understood what we were singing and they appreciated it so much. And so I do feel like it was a worthwhile thing and it was worshipful, but I do think back to this thing of whether there should be fun in music class or not. Honestly, I do not think that God put us here to have a boring life. Let's be honest. I mean, I feel like if our, you know, sole purpose in life is to worship Him, He's really not going to care if we sing a fun song with our school students and have fun teaching them. And they have fun learning about music so that they can worship Him better later on. I don't know if that makes sense in your minds, but that's my theory on this.
There's a difference in laughing at someone and laughing with them.
Yes. Absolutely. I like that.
Also, if you can laugh at it, instead of, you know, maybe somebody does mess up and nobody's angry. Like, the person is still going to feel almost like you're laughed at in a sense, about the same feeling. Whereas if you just, everybody laughs with them.
Yeah.
It just clears the air and it's a big deal. It was just a mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is. That's one thing I wanted to get into a little bit too, is like when the students aren't singing on, you know, how do we react to that and stuff. So, which kind of goes into this question here. What are some methods to teach droners how to sing on tune? And what are the most important parts of music to focus on for the younger grades, especially grade 1 and 2? Maybe we should ask Rowena that question because she's taught first grade for so many years. But does anyone have any, what you feel like are the important parts for first and second graders, especially, and what you do for droners?
I have two students directly from public school, and one sang high and the other sang low. We had three part music. I'm trying. But they sang, and to me, that's the first step, is to actually get them to sing.
Yes.
Because I had another student that wouldn't hardly even sing.
Yeah.
And those two drummers, by the end of the year, sang on tune. The one that never really sang, never really sang. I mean,
yeah.
He did, but barely.
Yeah.
One thing I did was probably about the first thing, and I tried to make it fun and do it with everyone so to not put them on the spot. Because that was really important to them that I wouldn't. I mean, they felt strained already. Tell one student to just hum, and then I would mismatch them. Like, okay, you tell me. So he would go do, and I'd go do, and like it sounded awful. And then I ask him, so does that sound right? Am I matching you? No. And they'd all be laughing. So John, you go up and down. He'd say, down. And so then I'd go below him. Does that sound right? And no, go up till find out match him. And then I had them do it to each other. And it did it faster than I expected, which, yeah.
That's brilliant.
But yeah, it helped them to learn to match each other's voices. I had them all do it to each other.
I like that. That is great. Anyone else have any thoughts for us?
I would blow a pitch and then have them match it. But I really like that, how you did it first and then it's okay. Show them it's okay, you know, to not it didn't make as, how do I say this? It didn't make as big of a deal out of being wrong.
Yeah.
It wasn't them not matching you, it was you
right,
not matching
it was,
them.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I like that too. But I think you're right. The more we sing, if we can get them to sing, the more we sing, the more it will be in their heads and they can do it too. And then the most important parts of music to focus on for the younger grades. I would probably for sure make sure that they know the scale very well. I would also like to see that age group know the difference between the beat of a song and the rhythm of a song, and we'll get into that a little bit here in a little bit. Because some children have it in them. Some don't, and that's okay. They're going to have to work a little bit harder. And I have a few things to show you of things I did with my music students to help with that. For like the beat of a song and the rhythm of a song. But those are probably, and you know, if they get the scale, like how it sounds, you know, doing the hand motions or the ones on the body like I showed you yesterday, which I want to go over those again today. Don't let me forget. If you can get those in their minds, how the scale sounds, it's great to teach them, you know, the shapes too, which actually I was going to say, the CLE first grade book is basically that, teaching them what the notes are. Like, do is a triangle, and they have to trace the do and write many do's beside it and then circle the do's in this section. And that's a lot of what first grade is. How do you make that fun? You know, that's why I think it's important to find other things. Even if it's not necessarily exactly what your lesson is about, just to get them to kind of relax before you make them sit down and work in a book is also helpful. So those would be my main things that they should learn for sure in those grades. Does anybody have any other thoughts and opinions about that? Oh, I see you left my little animals back there.
Please speak. Do you have anything else?
Okay. And then under the suggestions for the rest of us, having a theme song each week to try and sing every day is good practice for singing lots and helps to learn lots of new songs. And I remember that a couple of my teachers, they got songs from I don't know where all and made little like folders for us. And I actually did that one or two of the years I think that I taught. And then you could just add another song in and then you had kind of your own little collection of songs for that year. And it was fun. So that's a great idea. So one of the things that the With Glad Voices had for teaching the beat and the rhythm in songs were cards, and I just did these on plain paper. And for some reason this dolphin went black and white today instead of colored, but I don't know if you can see on these. So, star. It's one syllable. Dolphin is two. So a little bit about this Toccadini paper that I gave you. So what With Glad Voices does is they use the Toccadini method of teaching music, and all your quarter notes, they base everything off of quarter notes being one beat, two eighth notes being a beat. So it would be like, you know, your 2-4 timing, your 4-4 timing, everything is based off of that, especially in the first and second grade. But these, and they had a whole set of like 16 of them. I have no idea where mine went, so I kind of made my own. But you can, I think, I'll give you guys the, if you want it, the link for this company that does the With Glad Voices, and they have some of the stuff that you can buy for your classes. You don't have to get the whole set, their whole system of things. But I think these are one of the things that you can download and have printed or whatever. So for these, which I'm going to put these here. I don't know if you guys can see over there. So usually how I would start out with these is I would have them clap with me and say, I would make sure that they knew what the pictures were, and then we would clap and say them together, and we would kind of keep the same tempo the whole way through. So we would do like dolphin, star, pig, apple. So it was like 2/8 notes, quarter note, 2/8 notes. That was how you taught them that, kind of the tempo that you want. And I had, like I said, I had like 16 of them. And you can mix them up. I often would have my students say, okay, you pick one, and we would set them out and we'd go through them. So the other thing that we did that they had us do for the these, like instead of apple, you would say toddy. And the first graders didn't know that it was actually 2/8 notes. I didn't actually get into that with them until it was like they were actually learning about quarter notes and eighth notes, which I think is second or third grade maybe in the CLE books. So that was how I taught that to them. So if you did it like that, you would do like toddy, ta, ta, toddy. And you can, like I said, you can mix and match. I would also then, so I would teach them that when you clap for every word that you say, that is the rhythm. So if you say, you know, dolphin, star, pig, apple, that is the rhythm of a song or what you're saying. If you do like dolphin, star, pig, apple, that is the beat of a song. And so I would have them do both a lot. We did that probably, I wouldn't say it was every class, but we did stuff like that a lot. So I will show you, this is another thing that the With Glad Voices, it came with the book, but I think you can buy these separately. So this one I think shows everything. But these cards, I think you can also download and print them if you want. I don't know, it's maybe like $12 or something for these, I don't remember. I'd have to go back and look again. So this here, one line, is the ta. It is the quarter note. These two put together is like 2/8 notes. This is the ta D. This is what they do for a rest, and that is actually how I taught my students rests until they were older, because the other quarter note rest, I can hardly draw. So if we're going to draw it, this is the one I'm going to use, because you can use either one. That's not the one you're going to see in a book, and I teach that to them later, but this is what we used. So when you do a rest, if you're going to clap this out, it would be, you would just do like ta, ta, di, ta, and I always made them whisper it so that they knew it was quiet in the song. When you see something like this in a song, you are quiet. You rest. It's quiet. And these, so once they were older and they were learning about quarter notes, 2/8 notes, I would actually use this as well, but I would just tell them to, like, you know, you can think of a round circle here. These are just the stems for your notes. I think could we like move
a couple of these chairs? Why don't you guys all come stand up here and I'll just like do a few like I did with some of my music students.
We have a little hands-on teaching here. I want you to hold your paper so that the bar on the top is on the top. The bar here is on the top. And we're going to start. Wow, this could actually be a problem. I want you to actually stick your thing on the floor in front of you like this. And we're just going to go around the room and we're all going to do it together. So just to remind you, we have a ta, a ta-di, and a rest. I'm going to say rest. The rest, we're actually going to do last, if you don't mind switching that. Thank you. All right. I think that's good. So, let's start over here, and you can just follow me if you don't know what's happening. That's what happens in music class most of the time anyway, so. Ta, ta-di, ta, rest, ta. Light bulb moment for them, and it is great. So the other thing that they this With Glad Voices had is these. So it was your tas and toddies, but they put notes with it. So S is for so, M is for me. And L is for la. And that is those are the first notes that they actually learned, and that's the only notes in here. I sometimes would give them other ones and make them do like do mi and so or something, or do re and mi, like, you know, tell them to make up their own little tune of four notes or something with just do re and mi, because most people can do do re and mi usually. And I would try not to like sink myself in further than I knew what I was doing. So these, I don't really love singing right into that thing. Well, let's start on a different one. So you kind of have to just like pick your pitch. I never really took a pitch pipe to my classes unless it was with the older ones and we were specifically learning like how to start songs, that kind of stuff. So these, like, I would just like that. So me, so me is how you would do it. So let's do that together. So me, so me, so me, catch him off guard every time. So again gets in your own mind where so and me and law are, even when you like pick up a song you don't know in church and you're like, oh, I can jump from so to me and from, you know, and it makes more sense. And I'm like, if I can get that into these little people, it will stay. And while we're all up here, let's go over the hand signs again, which also is so helpful. And the ones on our bodies. So, do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, and do. Okay? Do, do, re, mi, fa. Starting on our knees. Do. Oh, sorry. I think there was a couple of you that weren't in here yesterday. So do's on your knees. Mi is here. I mean, re is here. Mi on your hips. Fa, put your hands out in front of you. So on your shoulders. La on your ears. Ti on top of your head. And do. So your hands up in the air. All right.
Do. Do. Re. Mi. Fa.
Let's do do, re, do, mi, do, fa, like we did yesterday. It just, that always is so helpful, even for me, because I'm like, if I can find do again, I think I can find that next note. So,
do, do, re, do, mi, do, fa.
Times and we'll just kind of mix it up a little bit. So let's say it as the words first, and then let's say it with the tas and the toddies, just to kind of cement in your mind which ones I'm talking about since we did those cards. So let's just start with the words. Star, dolphin, pig, apple. Now let's do the tas and toddies.
Ta, toddy, ta, toddy.
All right. Let's do the same thing.
Star, pig, dolphin, apple. Ta, ta, toddy, toddy.
Good. All right. I did think of a song. You can sit back down if you would like to. I did think of a song that you can have them repeat after you, and it works really well, actually. And it is the song Children Sing. Children sing, children sing. And they can actually repeat that back to you, and it doesn't sound absolutely retarded. Because I was saying yesterday, I couldn't think of any songs you can have them repeat that are like out of a little, you know, church book. But that is one. And then, happy praises to our King. And have them do it. Happy praises. And it works actually really well. And sometimes we just have to stop and say, why don't we try that again? You know, which going back to the whole thing of being embarrassed when they do something wrong, I think we need to remind them that none of us are perfect. And we're all going to make mistakes in life, whether it's in music or whether it's in softball or whether it's in whatever. We're all going to make mistakes sometime. And just to learn from them and go on. And it's okay to be a little bit embarrassed and laugh about it and keep going. Because I never wanted my students to feel like they were dumb if I stopped them and been like, okay, let's just try it again. You know, I don't think you quite understood what I was doing or something. Because, I mean, I love music and singing, and do I always get everything right? No, that's not the point. So let's look at the papers that I gave you a little bit. I'm not sure how far we'll get ending up with more things than time today, it looks like, which we had talked about if I was going to do the class for tomorrow or not. But I think if enough of you are going to be here, if there's probably at least, I don't know, this many or whatever, probably will. But I don't know if there's other classes that you're going to be at, or if you're leaving, that's fine too. All right, so let's look at the one that is the 16 and 17 that it's written at the bottom. Those two are out of one of the books. And this is talking about the kinds of notes, whole notes, half notes, quarter notes, teaching them what those kind of notes are. So the way they would do it for, if I understand correctly, in the Toccadini system of the rhythms or whatever, which I don't know if it says on here, but I think for half notes at least, you would go like ta, like just one. I'm trying to remember if there was one for whole notes. You're right. Thank you. So you can do that with, when you're teaching them for the whole notes, you can teach them the, you know, ta if you want. I also, like I was telling you yesterday, I couldn't even find the fake money around here. I was looking for it and I couldn't even find what I wanted. So we're going to have to improvise a little bit here. But if they've learned about money, this is a great way to make notes in a song make sense to them. So I tell them that this is like a whole note. And I actually had a whole bunch of fake money, and I would make them do things with the fake money and dollar bills themselves. So this would be a whole note, which in this paper is talking about how many bars there are, how many whole notes, how many half notes, all of that kind of stuff, which is fine. Some of the questions are just going to be boring and they're going to have to sit down and do it. But if you're going to teach them about whole notes, it might connect a little bit more if they have something to actually go by. So the dollar bill, and then this is actually, one of those $1 coins. Couldn't find any half dollar ones. I had some half dollar ones when I was teaching music, and we have a quarter here, and we're just going to pretend these are half dollars. But I had some fake half dollars for the half notes, and then they can see how many half notes are in a whole note, how many half dollars are in a dollar. It's the same. And then when we go on to the quarter note, one half note equals two quarter notes. There's going to be, there's also two quarters and a half dollar. So if they can connect the money with the music, it makes so much more sense in their mind. I'm not sure how to do this so you can actually like see it. Should have gotten some sticky tape or something. So if we have $1 and then we have these two, we're gonna go with that. That's just not gonna work. Can you all see if I do it on this chair? Ish. All right. So we're gonna go with that. And those are, that's going to be our dollar and our two half dollars. You can come up here if you can't see anything. I'm fine with that. Okay. And then if they know how many, quarters go into a dollar, it's four. That's how many quarter notes are in a whole note. And there's two quarters and a half dollars, so there's gonna be two quarter notes and a half note. And then where it goes off of the rails is the eighth note, honestly. Like, you can't do the money anymore. But you can tell them, you know, the eighth notes. It's just like there's two quarters and a half dollar, there's gonna be two eighth notes. And a quarter note. That means there's going to be four eighth notes and a half note. And there's going to be eight of them and a whole note. I would sometimes give them a dollar and just throw coins at them and say, you have to use, like, you can't just use one whole coin. Make it so it equals a whole note. This would be for a little bit older, like third or fourth grade. You know, you can use a half note, a quarter, and two eighths. You know, that'd be two, because we want four beats. So we have two, three, four. You could switch this out and have, you know, two eighth notes, two quarter notes, and two eighth notes. This would be a beat. This is a beat. The third beat and fourth beat. I don't know if it makes sense to you at this point. But I would often give them a dollar in fake money and have them do it. They would all have to do it at the same time, and then we'd go around and look at them. You can also bring in your whole Todd and Toddy thing if you want to, too, and make them do their own. Like, they created it, now they tell you what the Todds and Toddies are for what they created. There's a lot of things that you can kind of mix and match with that. But that's a lot of the type of stuff I would do with this kind of a lesson. I would use money like that to teach them the kinds of notes. It seems like if they have something else, instead of just like trying to figure out this whole like math thing, if they know their money, music will also make sense in their minds. I hope that made sense. I felt like that was not a very good explanation of the money in the notes. Another thing that I was going to say this about the first and second grade, what I also would make sure that they knew, and I forgot about it, is I would always teach them how to lead like 2-4 timing, and I would tell them to use both hands. So you start here and you go down and you go up, 1, 2, and I would have them do that while we were singing songs, if it pertained to that. I think you can do that with that children sing song. Children sing happy praises to our King. And it just helps them to realize that, like, I connect it with what the man up in church directing songs is doing. it's good for them to know how to do it. And I tell the girls, you know, even if they don't, if they're not ever going to direct, maybe they'll be a school teacher and they'll want to direct their children better. You know, boys, you might be the next song leader. And of course, they're like, oh, no, you know. And, but you never know. We need song leaders. We need teachers that, you know, are going to help the next students learn to sing. So that is another thing that I would teach the younger ones. I always, and then once they get into, I think it's, can't remember which book it's in. Is it the fourth grade one? Where they learn the different beating patterns and stuff. Actually, they don't learn the beating patterns. They just learn what they mean. What 2-4 means and 3-4 means. I'm out of time. I'll shut up now. So, for today. You can keep those papers that I gave you. We may continue a little bit with them tomorrow. And then also, there's a paper back there that you can write your name, email, or phone number if you want any of the links for stuff, like for the, I don't remember what the business is called. That does it with Glad Voices. It's Joe and Fern Eversole. They're from, I want to say Pennsylvania. And they have, I think, like these work cards. They have these, and it's all stuff that you, you know, pay maybe $12 or something, and then you can download it and print them yourself. I'm not sure if they have the option of just like buying it and they send the stuff to you anymore or not. I'm not sure how that is. I guess I should research into that a little bit. If you want these, I had started, I have a set of like 8 of them on my phone that I could email to you and you could print them out and use them. I'll try to finish that tonight. So there's 16 of them, and if you want them, I can send that to you as well. If you would rather have this Talkademy thing on email, I could also send that to you. If you'd rather just have the papers, that's fine. So if you want everything, you can just like put your name, number, or email. If you have just like one thing that you want, just maybe right beside the specific thing that you would like me to send you. And the one that says name is to put your name in. If you want these, if you want a chance at these little finger puppets. I didn't even get back into that again. Anyway, I'm holding you up and you have another class, so we will be done for today, but thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day.